Hallelujah. Give him a hand clap tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen, amen. Happy to be back here once again tonight. Praise the Lord. Sure appreciate Sister Emma for sharing that song tonight. And Brother One Day at a Time, that was wonderful. Thank you very much. Well, he said it. He said, just call me one day at a time. So, all right. By his grace. That's right. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're just thrilled to have our brother Boy Scout with us again here tonight. And, you know, God makes us all different and for a purpose. And I'm just so thankful for God's great big bouquet, his great variety, aren't you? And just every part fits in where it's supposed to, and adds to the great big bouquet. And so I was trying to remember here a few moments ago just exactly when it was that I met Brother Boy Scout. I think it was around 10 years ago or so. Might be a little longer, when I made the first trip up to Anchorage and then over to Chivac. And I was hoping on that trip to see the Northern Lights. I'd never, you know, you hear about them a good part of your life. And I guess where I lived in North Dakota on occasion, people would see the Northern Lights. I never did, but the atmospheric conditions are just right. And, you know, the weather's just right. I suppose you could see it. So I was really looking forward to it, and it never happened. But then I realized, actually, I did see the Northern Lights, because those are the most Northern Lights shining in this hour. And God placed those lights there so that there would be a witness and a testimony and a light. And it's just, you know, I haven't traveled perhaps like many other people have, but by God's grace, you know, we've been that far north, and we've been to the southern tip of Africa. So the other, you know, you look up and see the Southern Cross instead of the North Star to direct you, you just see those lights all over the world. God has light shining in the darkness, and you know, when the rapture takes place, those lights are going to disappear, and the world's going to find out just. You know, they call us a bunch of nuts. Well, if you take away the nuts, everything falls apart, right? So they're going to find out what was holding this all together was God's great love and his presence and his body here on the earth. So, you know, it'll be a horrible time. I don't want to miss the rapture because I'm afraid of the tribulation period. Now, I will admit that when I was raised in the denominational churches, I was afraid of, you know, I didn't want to go to hell, you know, and they'd show these movies about being left behind, and, you know, this lady wakes up, and it's just a bad day starting, you know, the alarm goes off, and there's planes crashing, and so I think there's a car that wrecked right out on the front, you know, and everybody's trying to figure out what's going on, and, you know, it's just a big chaos everywhere. It's not going to be like that. The world's not even going to know that we're gone right away. And when a thief comes in the middle of the night and takes away the treasure, you know, a lot of people will have treasure that they have locked up, and they don't look at it every day. And so it, you know, it might be months before they realize that something's missing. You know, Brother Brandon put it this way, I wonder what happened to so-and-so, you know. Did they move or what happened, you know? I'll take here two in the field, I'll take one, leave one, two in the bed, I'll take one, leave one. So we know it's not going to be chaotic, you know, planes falling out of the sky because the pilot happened to be a, you know, a member of the bride and everybody else is not. or you know, it's just not going to be that way. But anyway, we're so thankful for the Northern Lights, Brother Andrew. And it was... I think it even came out in a service that, speaking to Brother Andrew, that you are one of those Northern Lights. So anyway, it's, you know, we don't see one another. I was sharing this with another minister here the other day, that brother that I appreciate, and vice versa. We may never, we may hardly ever see one another, but just knowing that they're out there, right? That you have brothers and sisters of like precious faith that are doing what God's called them to do in the corner that God's placed them in. It's encouraging just to know that, you know, even if you may only come in contact very briefly. We know that when time's up on this side, that we'll be together on the other side, and we'll have all the time, we'll have eternity to spend together. But in the meantime, we'll work in whatever corner God's placed us, and God equips us. He cuts us a certain way and places us where we need to be. And I appreciate our brother's simple approach. And as we were saying at lunch today, you know, when somebody brings something in such a complicated way that only certain ones can explain it, well, you know, they don't have a hold of it, you know, because that's not how God works. It's the thing is, it was a mystery. If it's more mysterious after you explain it, then you haven't got a hold of it, you know. The thing about when God reveals something to you, you wonder, you're left wondering, how did I ever, why is it that I couldn't see that before? But you can't see it until he reveals it. But once he reveals it, you know, as our brother was putting this morning, once he reveals it to you, you just want to tell everybody because you're convinced that everybody's going to be able to see it, right? And you're shocked when they can't. But you just thank the Lord for it anyway, and you just continue to be a light wherever you're at. And one day God will call that light home. But until then, we want to be a light shining on top of the hill, not hid under a bushel or what have you. So anyway, we sure love our brother Andrew, Sister Bernie, and the church back in Chivac. We just love and appreciate them as well, and we pray for them, and invite you to do the same. So let's just sing that song as our brother comes here tonight. I just want to be where you are. I just wanna be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. If you wanna stand, I don't wanna worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just wanna be where you are, in your dwelling place. In your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, and surrounded by your glory. For in your presence, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be with you. Oh my God. Oh my God. You are my strength and my song. When I'm in your presence, though I'm weak, you're always strong. I just want to be where you are. Yes, Lord. Dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Lord, take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table surrounded by your glory, for in your presence, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be.
I got the mic on?
You got it on.
Praise the Lord. God is good.
Yes.
Appreciate your pulling this morning. Let's turn our books to Revelation chapter 10 this morning, or this evening. I want to continue on a thought of restoration of the word. Let's pray before we read. Father God, what a mighty God we serve. And Father, it's like a song goes, Father, we surely do want to be in your presence. And Father God, we just pray that you'll, even tonight, Lord, we know you're here, but help us, Lord, to know that you are here. And Father, we ask that you may just come and help us, each one. For we know without you, Lord God, we cannot understand. And Father, we pray that you'll just come and just meet all the needs that we have. Father, move in a mighty way for all of us. Father, I know it's nothing that we can do, Father, but it's you when you come. We ask that you may just come and bless the reading of the word in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible says, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire." And Father, I bless you this evening. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Like I said this morning, you know, it's this revelation in chapter 5, you know, the Lord showed me, you know, of a prophet. And when he showed it to me, it was something that it just became so real to me that nothing was going to tell me that, you know, he's not.
Right.
You know, it was so real to me. You know, even if a preacher comes along and tells me, man, you got a wrong revelation, that wasn't going to move it. Because it's so real to me. You know, it's something that I saw. And, you know, maybe if I hear it long enough, maybe I'll be convinced. But, you know, this was real to me.
Amen.
When it came to me. See, and you know, it showed me, you know, as time goes on, that's connected to Revelation chapter 10. I could just see him take that book, and here he is with a book open and comes down. And he showed these things to me so real. Yeah. You know, there was nothing could take it away from me.
Right.
We know that chapter 1 shows us of the revelation of Jesus Christ. We know that 2 and 3 shows us of the history of the church. Amen. And 4 and 5 is, you know, I mean, when you think about those things, it's just, you know, what we see today, you know, the open book that's been given to us, right?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And on to the seals. You know, we can go through the revelations and we can talk about those things, you know, and then chapter 8, the trumpets, and chapter 10. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, we know that John is the type of boy.
Yeah.
And the strong angel is the messenger.
Yes.
Amen. The one that's pointing us to the unveiling of the sealed book. Pointing it to us. We know that Paul was the first messenger. We know that. The original move at the day of Pentecost. But that move, if you notice, you know, when Paul comes along, he's preaching these, he's writing these, you know, these the New Testament. You know, he's, you know, back before, you know, like we say, Brother Branham put it down in 1953, or not 1953, the year 53. You know, beginning of the first age, right?
Yeah.
So we got to know the day of Pentecost was before 53.
That's right, man.
So the original was back in that time, and then the age, first age happened, and then from there the cooling off happened, right? Praise the Lord. So we want to go back to the original. We want to get back to the time before the ages started coming on. Get back to the time when God was moving. The Holy Spirit was moving in the Acts. Amen. So we want to get back to those things. The time when you go back to Adam, we want to get back to the time of our Lord Jesus Christ and move with the Holy Spirit. We want to get back to those things. Yeah. You know, and not just looking at the first seal comes along and there was a white rider, white horse rider. Second seal comes along and it's the red horse rider. You know, and all we're seeing is the move of the enemy. But then one thing that we fail to see as we go along is the move of the Holy Spirit. So we want to drop all those things and look at what God is doing today, right? We want to see the move of the Holy Spirit that's moving in every age. So put aside the white horse rider. Put aside the red horse rider. Put them all aside. Put them back there and look at what the Holy Spirit is doing. Amen. He's restoring. He's in a process of restoring the word. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes, because we should know today that, well, the devil's done his work. Uh-huh. Right. Praise the Lord. In Matthew 25, when we take a look at those, the virgins, the 10 virgins, you know, we can see those five virgins, you know, they're filled with the Holy Spirit. The other five know, they know they do not have the Holy Spirit. They know it. They're asking for it. Right? They're asking for it. They know it. They're not just running away and doing their own thing, believing that they have, revelation. They know they don't have the Spirit. They know it. They recognize it. They're asking for it. Isn't that right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, you notice those things that's going on because, you know, many of us, you know, we go through life, you know, thinking that we're on our way to a body change. You know, to the point we're thinking, you know, God in his own time will bring me to this place. God in his own time will fill me with the Spirit of God. God in his own time, you know, he's going to do those things. But the thing is, you know, you got your part to play. You know, you're the one that decides. You're the one that gives that discipline move. Disciplined. Right? Instead of being dilatory, you know, we're disciplined to do all these things. Praise the Lord. You know, we move on because God showed it to us. You know, too many times we see, you know, people, you know, they're like, hey, like Brother Branham talking about this one dream of this logger, and he has a hard time trying to get these logs down this stream. And he was told, well, just drop it into the river and ride with it on down. Yeah. Right? Praise the Lord. You know, wouldn't that be good? Don't have to do nothing. Just sit on the log and just go on your way down to the glory, right? That'll be great, right? I mean, I'd love to do that. Praise the Lord. But the thing is, you know, when we take that to where, when he brings it down to that river, you know, he's got to bring it down to the river. Right? He's got the intention to bring it to that place. Yes. He doesn't just sit in there and say, Lord, can you take this log to the river so I can jump on it and go down? Yeah. You know, that's my prayer for many of us. Sure. Right? So we talk about that restoration of the Word of God. It's telling you who you are. Yeah. Where you came from, where you're going. Brother Branham comes along and says, you are a free moral agent. Right? You're the one that decides which way you want to go. You're the one that decides, you know, what happens, you know, in your future, right? You're the one that decides if you should take that small, rough road instead of this beautiful, easy, this flesh would love to go through. Right? Praise the Lord. You know, back in the time when Abraham, you know, he was given that promise, you know, when he was given that promise that he was going to have a son that would bless every nation. time goes along, and his wife, you know, it didn't look like there was no way. I'm going to tell these things to you. You know these things, but I want to know more, right? You know, Sarah got to the point where it's becoming impossible. Right. It's becoming so impossible that this promise, this word of God spoke it. Maybe he had other plans. You know, it's something that happens to all of us. Yeah, right. We're a people that are driven, you know, by this world, basically. Yeah, sure. So here's Sarah. You know, she's thinking, well, if God said naturally it can't happen, I'm thinking maybe it's my extension. My extension could be the very one that he was talking about. So Abraham, here's my extension. Well, Abraham went along. But in the process of time, you know, we got to see where, when the word of God got fulfilled, it had to be fulfilled. Right? Everything had to be fulfilled according to the word, according to the word of God. God's word had to come to pass. No matter how impossible it looks, you know, I'm not preaching prosperity doctrine here, right? I'm not. It's just, you know, it's, he's, you know, they see what God is able to do, right? So the son comes along, Isaac comes along. And Abraham was told, why don't you take this promised son, go up to the mountain and kill him? Yeah. Right? He brought him up to the mountains. And he's, and says, Lord, you know, okay, this is what you said. But Brother Branham, he's saying, he knows that if he could do the impossible from his wife who was old, if he was able to do something of that impossible thing, right, he could do something impossible here. So he carries it through with that knowledge, yeah, with that knowledge that he got, takes that knife, he lifts it up, and he was told not to do it. Right? There's a ram stuck to that bush. It's stuck by its horns, right? It's there. That's the replacement, uh-huh, right? That's the one that's going to take your place. Yeah, right. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. You know, in that process, there was a ram there, Brother Bam says, in a place where he's not supposed to be.
That's right. Yeah.
In a place where he's not supposed to be, caught in a brush with his horns, which is his power, his strength. You know, his horns are the power, his strength. Yeah. And it's stuck by those. You know, he couldn't do nothing because he was tangled up in the brush in that place. He was so tangled up, he couldn't get off. He was caught by the very power. Right? Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, when you think about our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, that's God in human form.
Yes. Amen.
And when you think about this, you know, God in human form, if we think about God, God's got all power on earth. He's got all power in this flesh. He's got every power, every authority that he could have walking on this earth. You know, he could do those things, whatever he wants, you know, in this life, you know, in human form. But the thing that was holding him back, this son having that ability, the authority to have power, it was his humanity that was holding him back.
Yeah.
The very power that he had was being held by his humanity. The very strength that he had, the very authority that he had was held by that humanity, right?
Yeah.
He couldn't do nothing because of that humanity. He was caught in that. And that's our very sacrifice, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The very one that took our place.
Right. Amen.
He could have left. He could have said, you know, something. The whole angels of heaven would have come down and took over. But he was tangled in humanity.
Sure.
He couldn't do nothing because he was tangled in it. And that was the very thing that kept him from going anywhere or saying anything, or that was his very character. Yeah. Right? Because we know that he was born like we are. And grew up like we were, right? You know, on a church age book, I love that book. He says, now why does he stand by? The reason is in Romans 8, 17, 18. And if children then were heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, then that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to compare with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Revealed in us.
Yes, sir.
Nowhere else.
Right.
You know, we want to continue to look to something that's within. All right, we want to look to something. You know, we're not trying to bring him down. You know, he's
yeah.
here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We don't pray the Lord. You know,
yeah.
we need to communicate with him.
Right.
He's not somewhere. I have to believe he's not somewhere else.
Yeah.
I have to believe that he's in me. I want to communicate with him in my heart. I want to communicate with him, knowing that he's here, not somewhere else. Say, Lord, help me. Come down somewhere. If you're somewhere, no, it should be me, knowing that he's in my ship. Right? He's in my ship. Praise the Lord. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Brother Branham goes on to say, character is a victory, not a gift. A man without character can't reign, because power apart from character is satanic. But power with character is fit to rule. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, how come you make it so hard? You know, that's how it is. I mean, we are here with something, and God wanted to prove. I mean, we're the proof, right? I mean, we're here to prove to the devil who we are, who God is, and why he's here, what he's doing today, amen? And since he wants us to share even his throne, on the same basis that he overcame and is set down in his Father's throne.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Throne in heaven where the Father is at. Throne of our Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. Amen. Amen. He's sitting there with the Father. We're going to be sitting with our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then we have to overcome to sit with him.
Amen. Yeah.
My Lord Jesus Christ suffered. Yeah, that's what the Bible tells me. He suffered. He suffered. He learned. You know, he had something to learn. Yep, that's what the Bible told me. He had to learn. He had wisdom. Yeah, he had wisdom, but he had to learn. Praise the Lord. And the little temporary suffering we go through now is not worthy to be compared with the tremendous, tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when he comes. Amen. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. Praise the Lord. So we got to know Christ's character is, you know, his strength. Stuck in humanity, right? His power, his very strength. It's his humanity that kept him.
Yes.
Right? Praise the Lord. My throat is dry. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as it were the sun, his feet as pillars of fire. Clothed with a cloud. Every time we hear about God, he's in a cloud. When the tabernacle is, when God comes into the tabernacle, it's filled with the clouds. All right. Comes down in the clouds, goes up in clouds.
Yeah.
And a rainbow was upon his head. And we got to know the first rainbow that we ever experienced had to be with Noah when God said, I promise. I make an oath. Praise the Lord. Amen. And his face was Edward the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Praise the Lord. Just like we said this morning, you know, he had his foot on the sea and his other foot on the land. And we know the water in Revelation 17:15 says, the waters which you saw where the horse sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. In Revelation 13, we know, and I behold another beast coming out of this earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Yeah. So he's got these 2 feet sitting on, well, actually, it's the pillars of fire. Right. The pillars with an S. Right. Plural, not just one pillar, but pillars. Praise the Lord. Amen. They all are standing on everything on this earth. Yeah. That's the enemy. That's the enemy. We're standing on the enemy. Amen. Right? That's you. Yeah. Right. The pillars of fire. Yeah. So we have authority as believers. We got authority over everything that the enemy has to offer. We got authority over everything. What all denominations have to say, we got power over it. All right. Praise the Lord. Any denomination, whatever denomination it is. You know, the devil comes to every move of God. And you go to Israel, they say, you know, it's the worst place that you can go to today. And you ask anybody on the street, they don't even know who Jesus Christ is. And there's many in this message. Sure. So many denominations. Yeah, sure. Praise the Lord. Amen. But we got a fellowship, really. You want a fellowship with unbelief? Not to hate him, not to go against him. You know, I love my dad. You know, he was a deacon for the Catholic Church. I loved him. I loved him with all my heart. He loved me with all his heart. We're family. But that belief didn't separate us. He went on his way. I didn't mind. That's all it. God showed it to him. And this revelation of this word, God didn't show it to him. It's not my fault. I'm not the reason why he's like that.
That's right.
My father didn't show it to him.
Right.
He showed me I need to love him.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. See, we're above everything that this world has to offer. Every teaching, every denomination, everything that's going on. You know, we're not here to disrespect humanity. But we're here to love humanity.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, to the point where even the Bible says, love your enemies.
Amen.
Which is hard to do. So he's standing there on the water. Well, actually, he's standing on the pillars. And the pillars are on the water and on the land. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the earth. Praise the Lord. So here you are. God has a reason for work, and you are the very ones that he's using today, right?
Amen.
God is good, amen. So we're looking at something here to where, I mean, we got to understand that it's not him on the earth, it's you on the earth.
Yeah.
His corporal body cannot touch the earth until it's restored.
Right.
The corporal body cannot and will not. Brother Branham saw him standing there, and he was up, 10 feet, I don't know, up in the air, you know, just standing there, showing himself to Brother Branham. Brother Branham had to be on his knees praying. He's praying for his dad. He's praying, and he's thinking about him, and he didn't want him lost. He's praying that he would be delivered or saved, you know. And then he looks up, and there's Jesus Christ standing on the air. And he said, no artist could ever paint that, right? You know, Brother Branham, he goes on to say that he was praying for his dad. You know, there's something that he did that made him able to see our Lord Jesus Christ. He did something that created such an atmosphere to where he, our Lord, was able to come into that presence for Brother Branham to be able to see him. I mean, when you think about Moses, you know, Moses is a man that we know that saw that pillar of fire come so close and speak to him lip to ear, you know, right there in the presence. Even he said, take those shoes off, you're on holy ground. He says, you know, something caused Moses to be able to be in the very presence. It was not just all of a sudden, you know, somehow God allowed himself to be there. Something created that relationship that they would have that connection. Something did. You know, we got to catch the point where, you know, we don't just, you know, all of a sudden get into the presence. Something creates that connection. See, when the message came into my life, I was so caught up in it. I was reading it. I was seeking it. I was looking for it. I was on my knees praying and looking for God, looking for the presence. I'd fall asleep on my knees just waiting. You know, days go by, weeks go by. I'm feeding. I'm looking. I'm seeing things that I never saw before. But one day, woke up in the middle of the night, which I don't usually do. I'm not a dreamer. I don't dream. People talk about dreams, and I'm like, I wish I was like that. I don't dream. I'm not a dreamer. I woke up middle of the night, and I felt the presence. A room was, and I call it a candlelight light in the room, middle of the night. I felt the presence move from here, moving that way. And I'm thinking, I got to cover myself. I got to hide myself. There was a fear in me. Covered myself is like, that's not enough. You know, it's like air. I took my wife's arm, pulled it over me just as tight as I can behind me. But still, there was a space between me and my wife. So everything that I'm trying to do, hide in that presence, nothing was hid. That's my only experience with that. Either it was a dream, you know, I can't say if it was. But all I can say is I'm not a dreamer. It was so vivid, so clear. So Moses had to have that experience, something. Because we know in so many words, you know, it's something that caught my eye with Brother Branham talking about the Ten Commandments. And here is Moses. He's looking up to the mountain. He sees this light and he's wondering about that light. He's wondering, right? One day he's called. There's a pull there. There had to be a mental, he had to be meditating. Meditating on God, meditating on the Word, meditating on those things, thinking on God. It had to open a door.
Yes, sir.
Right? It had to open the door. You know, think about the tabernacle in the wilderness. When you think about that tabernacle in the wilderness, right? You know, it's an open area, you know, on the outside. And then you go into it's a tent right in the middle, and it's two courts on the inside.
Yeah.
Right? And you go into that place, you know, there's a sacrificial altar, brazen altar on the side. And you bring in a sheep and you have it killed, sacrificed. And your sins are judged. Your sins are judged. You know, there's a process in going in. You know, somebody just don't go in and say, hey, Lord, I believe, you know, I'm going in. You know, I'm going to go in and visit with you, have a talk with you. There's a process to going to that place. Right? There's a process. Even for the high priest, he had got to dress right, the right kind of headgear, the right kind of gowns, the right kind of everything. It had to be in a certain length. Everything had to be properly prepared. Everything had to be done in order for God to be pleased with that.
Amen.
The order that he came in, right? There's an order in going into that place. Praise the Lord. Now, we're talking about the restoration of the Word of God. Right? We're talking about the restoration. So he goes into that place. He's done that sacrificial lamb. The blood has been poured. And the fire has come from God. We know that. You know, no other strange fire could go into the tabernacle and be used as a burner for incense.
Right.
It had to be the right fire.
Yes.
Not just any fire. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Your pastor is agreeing with me. Praise the Lord. You know, it had to be the right fire.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. You know, it's, you know, I wanted to approach this because the message that came to us, it was not just a man's word. It's a message that was recognized by many denominational preachers. They recognized who this man was.
Yeah.
Even in the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, Nicodemus, one of the great teachers at that time, one of them, he goes into the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ and says, "You couldn't do anything unless God is with you." And he said, "Us Pharisees, us teachers, that's what we believe." He confessed it to him and told him, the reason why you do things is because.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
I mean, these great preachers, you know, in the time of our Brother Branham, you know, they were saying, you know, Bible days are here again.
Yeah.
They were recognizing the presence of this man doing great miracles.
Right.
Praise the Lord. You know, he says in a message called Spiritual Food in Due Season, he says, now we notice here again, if the word is in us and has come to us, as it did Elijah in that day, it'll do the same thing that he did.
Amen.
It'll do the same thing
Amen.
That he did.
Amen.
He would feed on the secret things of God, which is hid from the world.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Same thing. Praise the Lord. It makes the message and the messenger as one. The spiritual food is ready and it's on the season now. Each one of us can have this food if you wish it. If you are willing to steal away from all of the unbelief of this hour.
Amen.
Steal away from this unbelief.
Amen.
Which is hard to do today. So much unbelief out there that's so available to you, and you are so available to open it up.
Right.
Praise the Lord. But he goes on to say, it's not their food. It's not the church's food. It's the bride's food. It's spiritual food in due season. It would make them sick in their stomach. It's too rich for them. Praise the Lord. I had a cake one time made down in Tennessee, and I was being invited to a dinner. And they were placing this chocolate-covered cake in front of me and said, "Man, that's too rich for your brother. You can't even eat it." Took me a piece, ate it all up. They made it for me. You know, the thing is, if it's something made for you,
yeah.
Right? I mean, we got this word that's made especially for you.
Yeah.
Made especially for all of us as the children of God to receive, because we are the special people that would receive this message.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's not too rich for us.
Right.
It just makes us richer. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God is good, amen. I got time. I wrote down the time. He says, and the mighty God unveiled before us. He says, no, get the tact together. Look what's happening and see, and look what he promised. Then you'll see where we're at. Get the thing together. You can see the unveiling of this great and mighty one. Traditions has blinded the people again to this great things that's been prophesied. Moses, when he had come forth from the mountain which was on fire, how beautiful the illustration. Moses had went down to Egypt and told the church fathers that the Lord God had visited him in the name of I am. The name, that name is present tense. Not I was, will be, but I am. Ever the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is present tense. That compares with Hebrews 13:8. It's still the prophesied word. Yes. Praise the Lord. And every time a mighty move of God happens is when the world is becoming very dark. Revelation 10 comes along when the world has become so dark. I mean, you got to know Brother Branham talking about when he was painting those moons, you know, those seven moons. Right at the end, he saw just nothing but black. No light on it. Brother Branham said he put a light on it. Why? Because he saw me. He saw me and said, nope, it's not all dark. You know, there's a little sliver of light up there. I mean, you got to know, this is a prophet of God. He saw black. But he had a knowledge that there is a people here. Right? A people, believers, today. And yet we know that the world has already crucified the word. And at the same time, our God has come to restore. Right? I mean, back at that time, when you think about those powerful ministries, and I've seen some ministries to where even they identify Brother Branham as one of the greats. Yeah. You know, even Benny Hinn confessed that he was one of the greats. Sure. And he even confessed, I don't want to be around this man. I'm glad I wasn't there because he would have known who I am. Yeah. You know, Gordon Lindsay, he says, the story of the life of William Branham is so out of this world and beyond the ordinary that there were not available a host of infallible proofs which document and attest its authenticity. One might well be excused of it, considering it far-fetched and incredible, but the facts are so generally known and of such a nature that they can be so easily verified by any sincere investigator that they must stand as God's witness to his willingness and purpose to reveal himself again to men as he once did in the days of the prophets and apostles. This story of this prophet's life, for he is a prophet, though he infrequently used the term, indeed witness to the fact that Bible days are here again. Wow. Gordon Lindsay. Praise the Lord. Bible days are here again. There's always proof when God moves, right? There's always proof when God moves in your life. There's always proof. And you can't deny that, right? Praise the Lord. So here's the Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation 10:6. He says, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, the sea. And he goes on to say those things. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's lifting up his hands. He's making an oath. Think about it. Our Lord, our King, is making a promise, yeah. An oath, right? That there should be time no longer. Time shouldn't be delayed anymore, right? He's making an oath. That's our Lord. He's the very one that learned obedience. He's the one that learned, right? Through suffering. Humility became a part of his life. I mean, we got to catch those things because he learned those things. Praise the Lord. So he's standing there with his hands up. He's got an open book in his hands. I'm telling you the truth. This is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. The open book that he's got in his hands. Right? Praise the Lord. Restored word. We got the restoration. It's a restored word. It's restoring us back to who we are. So you take a look at Adam, who he is. The very man before the fall, the very man before he was kicked out of the Garden of Eden, the very man that we've seen according to Scripture, a man that Brother Branham spoke of, who could speak to anything and they would do anything that he wanted. Right. A man who spent time with God every single day. Amen. He had that close connection right. with the Father.
Right. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ comes along, and he says, I do nothing but what the Father shows me. Yes. He had such a relationship with the Father to where he can't do nothing else but what the Father said.
Yes, sir.
And here comes you, the body, right? Yeah. To the point where you can say, you do nothing but what the Father says yes. to you.
Amen.
Isn't that right? You do nothing but... Our Lord Jesus Christ comes along and says, Father, take this cup from me. Yeah. Really? He's not doing again what the Father telling him to do? I mean, he's taking it hard. This man, our king, he's taking it so hard. He's crying. He's crying for you. He's crying, I don't want to take this. It's too hard. I mean, he learned character. He learned, and he got that character through suffering.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He said, Father, take this cup from me. Brother Branham, he says, I was going to tell the devil that's true. But something inside of him said... He worshiped God instead.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Something inside.
Yes. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God is good. Amen.
Amen.
I want to take a look at this here in Revelation chapter 8. On verse 2, the Bible says, And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them which were given seven trumpets, and another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there was voices and thunders and lightnings and earthquake.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So there's a sacrifice with the brazen altar. A sacrifice is made. The order has to go in through that to go into the holy place. And when he goes into that holy place, he's come out of the elements of the world, but into a room that he's got to light the candles and fill the showbread or the manna. He had to fill those things. And Brother Ben says, once in a while, those lights burn out.
Yeah.
And the bread runs out. That's a holy place. A place where, they're thinking about going to the other side of the curtain. They're thinking about God, but, those things happen. They burn out once in a while. They lose that revelation once in a while, right? They lose those things. They're in a holy place.
Sure.
They've moved on from the influence of the outside. They go into another place. And before he goes into that place, there's a golden container for the incense. A golden container. And the incense goes on there, or the fire goes into that place, I think it is, and they put the incense on it, and it smokes. And what is it doing? It's creating an attitude, or I don't know what you may call it. You know, it's something. It's building a. I mean, the Bible says it's a sweet savor to God. You know, I don't know how to use the words, but you know, but it's creating something that'll make God receive that sweet savor.
Yeah.
And he couldn't go in without that into the holiest of holies, right?
Right.
It's creating such something. So in order to do it, the thing is, he's got to take that coal from where the sacrifice is at. Yeah. That coal from the sacrifice. It's got to be specifically from that place of judgment. Okay? Specific from that judgment bowl. He took that coal and put it right into the golden container.
Yeah.
Okay, golden container. Well, we know gold represents God, deity, right? So he puts that fire in it. What does he do? And he pours those four different types of incense. And every one of them comes from a plant, and they call that ointment as a drip. And it drips out of that plant. And you got to know that oil that's coming out of that plant is coming from within that plant. It's the character of that plant. It's who the plant is. So it comes out of the plant, and they prepare it to such a way to where when that plant is, the oil is prepared, it's ready to burn on the incense. It's not just something out of, you know, for somewhere. It's a, I don't know, a character of that plant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of who it is, that plant.
Yeah.
It's who we are,
yeah,
that comes out.
That's good.
Right?
Yeah.
It's who we are that comes out, that creates such a savor.
Yeah.
Sweet smelling savor,
yeah,
to God.
Yeah.
And every prayer of the saint that have, every saint that's ever prayed from beginning to the end, every prayer is archived.
Amen.
Yeah.
And they put all those prayers into that fire of God, and they come up. Why? Because they are the real nature of each one. The real nature of each one that's praying. It's not a prayer book being prayed.
Right.
This is somebody's very heart.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the character of that person.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So what does it do? I mean, to God, that's a sweet savor. Sweet savor just fills up the whole place. And that ark, that high priest, he's able to go in now into that presence of God. And in the presence of God, what happens? Like the prophet says, when that curtain comes down, everything shuts down in the world. Just him and God.
Yeah.
He's there in the presence. You know, it created to the point where all the process from the outside, the tent, going into the tent, he created, you know, he brings a sacrifice. You see, all these things are coming into that very presence.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're here to do something. God is showing us a way.
Yes,
just like that message of the spiritual amnesia. Here's a light, and we step right into it.
Mm-hmm.
Another light in front of us, and we step right into it.
Amen.
Another light right there, we step right into it.
Hallelujah.
We don't jump off somewhere.
Hallelujah.
And as we go along with that light, as it's shown to us, or every revelation that's been shown to you, you jump right into it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Like Brother Branham talking about you that needs a healing, you got to see your healed body first before you can jump right into it.
Amen.
So when God shows it to you and there's a revelation, there it is. That's me. I see it. It's not you just sitting there, oh, Lord, I know your promise. You told me to ask, so I'm healed. And no, you know, you got to see that.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. See, every prayer, it's a sweet savor. It's something special to God. Something special. It's sweet. It's a sweet smelling savor to God. Oh, you just got to know when you get on your knees and you pour your heart out. It's not just you. It's Christ in you.
Amen.
It's Christ in you that's pouring out.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I just love that story. When I'm thinking about those things, and it's, you know, I want to be in that presence all the time. You know, it's something that for me, you know, in my mind, you know, without the devil telling me all the time, saying you're not there. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's where I want to be. The sacrifice is there. What's going on? Your sin has been judged.
Yes, sir.
Your unbelief is burned away. You walk into the holy place, and all you see is the seven candles. All you see is what you can feed on. I mean, you're in the presence to where your mind is, you know, like Christ.
Yeah.
Right? You're there. Your mind is set, being set up to where you can have that presence with Him. You can walk behind that curtain knowing that you are ready. That your everything is ready. Everything that you're using is in its proper place. Everything is prepared just exactly the way it should be. And you are ready. You know that you can walk into that presence knowing you've done everything that you were supposed to do. Is that your heart's desire?
Amen.
I want to be there. I want to make sure I know I got everything in place. I want to know I've done everything that I should be doing in life. You know, I don't want to be just, you know, be one of those that say, okay, water, bring me over there. You know, He told us the water is going to bring you down to the waterfall. What you need to do is you got to fight that water. Fight it. Go against it. You go against it until you get to the source. Right? Praise the Lord. Everything in the tabernacle in the wilderness represents you. That's a representation. When Moses looked into the heavens, he saw there's a tabernacle. John goes up there and he saw the very same thing. Praise the Lord. I want to read this quote from Billy Branham on the message called The Blasphemous Names. Praise the Lord. According to my time, I got 5 minutes, brother. And she dreamed that she was up on the mountain. He's talking about Sister Shepherd. And in this mountain, I haven't got the paper before me, but I think it's like this. She dreamed that she saw a rock box, a framework, sitting right in the top of this mountain. And her husband was just behind her, and she saw a large man standing there with a work clothes on, sleeves rolled up, bailing the most pure water that she ever seen, and pouring it into this box. This rock box sitting on top of the mountain, and the rock box would not hold the water, and it rolled right out of there, just boiling up all the trash and sticks and everything in it. Boiling it out, rolled down the mountain, and it rolled over her feet, and she was standing right in that stuff, only it didn't stick to her. So this rock box, this man was pouring pure, clean water, And it was washing out this box, cleansing it out. And then she asked why the box didn't hold it. And the man said, that is not water, that's the Holy Ghost. Nothing will hold it. And said, then he went back and got another big bucket and it was full of honey. And poured the honey right into it and said, now it will hold this. And she thought that the box was a rock box, was going to burst out and spill the honey, but it didn't. It finally stuck together and held it. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So what does that mean? See, honey is a sweetener. I love honey. I drink it every single day back home. Honey is sweet. So he pours the honey into this box. And it sticks. It doesn't boil over. But think about this. First, he pours water into the box. And he says, that's the Holy Spirit. But it can't hold. The box can't hold it. But it washes off all the trash out of that place. Yeah. The Holy Spirit. But the box can't hold it. Yeah. So he pours out another bucket, but it's honey this time. Yeah. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now we're talking about the restoration of the word, right? And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So if we look at these things, how the Bible puts it out, add to your virtue, so you got virtue. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. You know, it's a building, right? And besides this, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness. No, you've seen that pyramid picture, right? Of all those. Right? I think it's right there, right? Oh, now you know what it means. Temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness. So, what's the connection? Brotherly kindness. So when you think about that sweetener, that honey that sticks, brotherly kindness, it's having that relationship horizontal before we have that vertical relationship. We got to have that relationship, something that sticks. It's sweet. Brother Branham, I think I might have told you this. Brother Branham, you know, they say the testimonies of the believers, you know, they've said the one thing that is so hard to believe or to understand about this man, Brother Branham, is when he talks to a believer and unbeliever and whoever they are, you can't tell who he's talking to. He's talking to every one of them exactly the same. Same attitude, same character, same love. And you can't tell. Praise the Lord. I want to be like that. I mean, I want to see that. I want to see that. I want to see it. I want to look at that glass and look at, that's me. I see it. Too many times we can't see it. It's too dark. We can't see it. We're spending too much time looking at other things. Brother Branham, you know, he says, stay in line, stay in line. Yeah. Why? Because there's too many at this age that are being distracted. So many distractions. You know, we can say denominations, right? Other churches and say, man, those guys are successful. You know, they're doing things. You know, they seem to have better people. They're praying more. They're worshiping more. And what are we doing here? They don't realize there's something special here, right? Amen. Another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of all the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. Believers coming to perfection. I mean, we've been filthy, dirty, no good people, you know, back in, you can remember those things, no good people, you know, we, whatever, you know, I don't want to tell you that the life of the old man that I was in, you might kick me out from this pulpit if you knew. And if I know who you are, I'll tell you to come on, come up to the altar. See, nothing is done out of order. So from the sacrificial lamb, the fire that burned the sacrifice is the very same fire that burns the incense. It's my meditation, my communication. Communication, not a one way. Too many times where all we do is ask, amen, walk out the door. Father, bless the food. We thank you for it. We eat. We don't spend time like we should waiting on him. We need time with God. We need time with him. Praise the Lord. But you think about Brother Branham talking about David. You know, David, he says he knew he was anointed. He knew that he was vindicated to be a good shot. He knew that they knew that he was a good shot. So David was not just some guy, you know, that didn't know anything about the sling. This guy knew what the sling was. Yeah. Right? And just like some of you hunters here, you know how to use your rifle. You know, you don't just go, you know, like John Wayne. You know, you take your time. You know what you're doing. David knew what a sling was. Right? He was not just some little boy that knew nothing about a sling. He noted, and when he stood before Goliath, he never cried, "Oh God, what must I do now? I know what you did in the time past. You let me kill a bear. You let me kill a lion." You know, that's our prayer many times, right? That's our prayer. But what about this Goliath out here? You know, what about this COVID here? It's a powerful devil that's working here on this earth. So what about him? You know, Lord, what about him? You know, he's powerful. He never did that. He just spoke. What did he say? You will be like they were. But the thing is, he had a revelation of what he was supposed to do. It was not a guesswork. It was not a, I hope so. It was a revelation given to him that he had the anointing, that with that anointing he had the power and authority of God. It was not just a, I hope so, because I'm a Jew or a believer or a message believer, or, you know, it was not just that. It was a revelation given to him. I heard my father say,
that's right.
Amen. Right? Too many times we're here saying, Lord willing, maybe I might hit the Goliath on the eye or something. Lord, really? Lord is willing that you destroy the enemy. But when you hear that revelation, I mean, you just know. You just know it. You just know it. He never prayed a prayer. He never offered nothing. He knew he was anointed. He was anointed, and that slingshot had proved the right kind of a thing. He had faith in his anointing. You catch that? He had faith in his anointing. You know, he didn't say, well, I'm a Jew. You know, I'm a descendant of Abraham. You know, he didn't say that. He knew he had something because he had that relationship. Amen. Not the blood from Abraham. He had a relationship.
Yes, sir.
Okay? He knew that he was anointed. He knew God made him that. Amen. He knew that he killed a lion. He knew that he killed a bear. But that was with his earthly father's possession. You know, that changes the story, right? You know, all the stories you've been telling about from this message. The reason why he killed the lion and the bear was with his earthly father's possession. So that's different. It's a different story. But then he's looking at the Goliath and he says, here is his father, heavenly father's possession. That's different.
Yeah.
He was unknown. There goes the bear, because I'm a good shot. There goes the lion. I'm a good shot. He looks at Goliath and says, no, I can't do it. But the only one that can do it is my father. Praise the Lord. We have a father. And we need the revelation of who the father is. We need a revelation of who the father is. Moses had the revelation when he stood there on that holy ground. He had the revelation of the father. Praise the Lord. He was able to walk down to the greatest nation because he had the revelation of the father. Praise the Lord. Restoration of the word. Restoration of the word. Adam talked with God, walked with God. Brother Branham, he was invited by even the father, says, walk with me.
Yeah.
Brother Branham took his hat off, walked down that forest. Praise the Lord. He didn't pray through. He was already prayed through. God prayed him through before the foundation of the world. He was anointed for the job, and we're anointed for this end time.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Pray through since before the foundation of the world. He had to speak and go forward. That's all there was to do about it. Just speak and go forth. That's all there was to do. James said, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he had committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another. It all has to do with brotherly love. Right? And pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. You know what availeth mean? You know, he's not saying it's available. He didn't say that. Right?
Yeah.
You know, you're English and I'm Chupik. Chupik will teach you English. He didn't say it's available. He said there's a force.
Yeah.
There's a force from the righteous man. There's power in a righteous man. There's extraordinary deeds in a righteous man. And it's all in Christ. He's not just talking about a man, you know, having some kind of faith. He's talking about there's something within this man. There's a power. There's a force. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Praise the Lord. You know, God knows who we are. We don't know who we are. We don't. Right? We don't. We don't. You may say, well, I know who I am. Well, in all reality, you don't. You know, you can tell me and say, well, I don't have a problem with patience. Just tell somebody around you. Or if you're married, tell your spouse. Right, Brother Mike, tell him. You know, you go into the sunset and you watch a beautiful place, so beautiful, I mean, it could be a magnificent, awesome scene. And you try to look at yourself, you can't even see yourself. You see the great things out there, but you can't even see even your eyeballs. Try. I mean, I want you to try on the next sunset. Because you don't know who you are. But God knows who you are, what you need, right? Praise the Lord. God is good, amen. I pray this was a blessing to you. It's just something that's been burning in my heart for these past few weeks. And, you know, it's a thing to where we need to recognize who we are. I mean, especially with something like this COVID. I'm not saying to go out and say, well, I'm a believer. You know, I'm going to go out and shake hands with everybody and, you know, be around somebody who's coughing like crazy. And, you know we need to discipline ourselves and say, I mean, this is real. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't want to go see a doctor. I've had that experience. I'm always telling them, you should go. Just in the meantime, just find the comfort until the healing happens. And here they're suffering. I got a headache. My body aches. And I don't need to go. And another day goes on. I got a headache. And but I'd rather see you get rid of the discomfort until that healing happens. I believe in my wife, you know, helping me out when I'm feeling bad. I enjoy God with skin on. I enjoy it. I love it. And God placed that doctor to take care of this body, this natural body.
Right.
A natural doctor takes care of the natural body to make it feel better because it's got the knowledge of how to take care of it. In the meantime, if the doctor can't bring me further than the ladder that he's got, God's there.
Amen.
Right? Restoration of the word.
Amen.
Restoring you back to the reality of who God is today. We want to see him face to face. Because we're not immune to what the devil can do today. We're not immune to every sickness that he's got to offer. We're not immune to those things. Discomfort happens.
Yes.
And it hurts. I don't like it. You know, I'm going to take my Tylenol if I get a headache. And it helps. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. You know, we need to discipline ourselves wise as a serpent, gentle like a dove, right? Wise as a serpent. We got to know who we are, right? We got to know where we're coming from. We got to know what we're dealing with. I'll tell you what, if there was a gunfight of, you know, cops and robbers out there right in front here, would you go out there and say, well, I'm a believer, you know, God's going to take care of me? Right? They won't shoot me. You know, I'm a believer. I'm pretty sure none of you will go out. You're going to be hiding behind these walls, the thickest wall that you know that's in this place. But if God tells you by revelation that you need to go there, then you go. Amen. God is good. I appreciate, I'm in the time here, brother. I appreciate it. I appreciate your attentiveness tonight. And I pray that God gave to you what you needed.